In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Tonight I want to expound, not just so much expound, but let me say it this way. The Bible says in Proverbs, the 4th chapter, the 7th verse, wisdom is the principal thing, correct? And it says, in all thy getting, get understanding. The reason why you want understanding is because it's easier to operate in something you understand in, that you can understand, rather than operating in guessing. So Apostle began to talk to us Sunday about the secrets of staying in the presence of God. And if you have not made the transition from thinking pastorally, what I mean by the presence of God, what I mean by that, by thinking pastorally, you thinking that apostle is supposed to bring the presence of God to you. So some wait to Sunday to access the presence of God. Some people don't believe they can access the presence of God. And so when apostles start talking about secrets to staying in the presence of God, some people automatically exclude themselves. Because some think they're not worthy to be in the presence of God. Some have taken the characters out of the Bible and put them on a pedestal. And so when Apostle talks about staying in the presence of God, he's talking to you. He's talking to me. He's talking to us. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, we don't have to go there. We read it all the time. But Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 12th verse, it says the purpose of the purpose of the fivefold is to for the perfecting of the saints or the maturing of the saints. And so what that means is apostle, his job is to lead us to the presence of God and teach us how to get there so that you can find your way on your own. See, in a pastoral model, thank you, Holy Spirit. The pastoral model is stuck in the Old Testament. Because you're back in Exodus, where God created Aaron and the Levites to be priests. But last I checked, we are a royal, a chosen. So you can't be a royal priest and not know how to access the presence of God. You can't be in a royal priesthood and don't think you're supposed to be there. See, is this making sense? Talking about getting understanding. See, the reason why God, go to Genesis with me. I'm going to show you why God set up Aaron and them, the priests. Go with me to Genesis, the 2nd chapter. And we're going to walk our way through this. Genesis, the 2nd chapter. Because I want to prove to you tonight that from the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, on day one, on second one, you have a right to be in the presence of God. Now, here's where the fivefold comes in Ephesians 4. You may not know what to do in the presence. You might not even realize what's supposed to happen in the presence of God. But you have a right to be there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You ever, your first day on the job. Your first day on the job, you went to wherever you worked your first day at the job, and you had to have somebody to what? Train you. Right? You didn't know how to operate whichever you had to operate. You didn't know the processes. Or the processes, if they call you, like, that you had to know to operate in that particular company. Somebody had to train you. Now watch this. You may not have known how to do everything in that plant or that office or that particular business, but simply because you were hired, you had a right to be there. And could nobody put you out? Because you had been hired by the boss to be there. So just because you don't know what to do in there, don't mean you don't have a right to be there. That's why you have somebody to train you on what to do so you can become proficient of why you are there. Did that make sense? So day one, when you got born again, you had a right to be in the presence of God. You may not know what to do. You may not have all the confidence. Listen, when I first started working here, I have all the confidence to know what to do. I had to learn. They had certain processes in place that I had to learn, some protocols I had to learn. But after a while, I got confident in knowing what I was supposed to be doing. So watch this. So that nobody had to teach me anymore. Does that sound familiar? Is that 1 John 2:27? You have an unction? So we have to shed this idea that the fivefold is supposed to bring the presence of God to us. No, the presence of God, the fivefold is to bring you to the presence of God. What I mean by bring you to the presence of God, that means make you aware of your surroundings and then teach you how to operate in them. All right, so let me explain. Let's go read Genesis 2, and you're going to see why God set up Aaron and the priests. In Genesis, the second chapter, and let's look at the 16th verse. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden, talking about Adam, to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord had commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. You see this? Now, I need to make some... Genesis is always a wonderful book to read, because any problem that we're facing in life... The reason why we're facing in life originates in Genesis. So it's always good to go back and to meditate and to dissect what Adam and Eve did so that we won't repeat the same mistakes. Is that making sense? So here it is. The first thing that Adam had was access to the presence of God. So now if Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, if Christ put us back in a formal position, that's what redemption means, put us back in a formal position. What formal position? The position that Adam and Eve were in. Then that means that Jesus, when he died on the cross, put us in a position to be in the presence of God. Because Adam started off in the presence of God. Because nobody else told Adam, watch this, and the Lord God commanded the man, commanded Adam, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. He's not getting this from no other source. He's getting this from the source, right? Go to verse 20. Verse 19, rather. It says, and out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. And what he did? Brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam was so closely tied to God. Adam was so far in the presence of God that God brought the animals to him to see what he would call them. Now, what's the significance of that? God wanted to see if his system was working. If man could be so in tune with him that he'll call the thing that God wanted to be called. So here we see that Adam was in the presence of God. Now, mind you now, this is before Jesus, obviously, before Jesus died on the cross, right? So a principle or a position has been established, right? A principle and a position has been established for us as believers that we can make reference to. See, this, Genesis 2 and 19 is connected to 1 John 2:27. Let that sink in. Some people looking at me like they don't know what 1 John 2:27. Let's turn there. 1 John 2:27. So I can read it to you. Sometimes a teacher you think some people know things and recognize things, but you're gonna recognize the scripture when I get to it. But I want you to see it. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which ye have received of him. Now, in your Bible, I need you to take your pen and capitalize the word H, the letter H. So make no mistakes about who the him is. All right, meaning God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. But the anointing which ye have received of him abided in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. That scripture came from Genesis 2:19. Are you with me? See, Adam had an anointing or a grace in him because he was in the presence of God, that he was able to operate in the natural just like God would operate if he was in the natural. In the presence of God. Go to Genesis 3 now. So you see how Genesis 2 and 19 is connected to 1 John 2:27, all right? Genesis, the third chapter. This is the third chapter. Now watch this. Now the serpent, verse 1, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, here it is. Here it is. They have been accessing or have been in the presence of God. Are you seeing this? But yet Satan comes along. Now watch this. Every time Satan tries to talk to you, he's trying to get you further away from the presence of God. See, I need you to stop playing defense. You are in the presence of God until otherwise notified. There's a difference. You are in the presence of God until otherwise notified. So Satan, every time he talks to you, every time he tries to throw a distraction at you, he's trying to get you out of the presence of God because he knows that your rightful place and that your original position is in the presence of God. Are you seeing this? So watch this. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from. Now, the question is, why did they hide themselves from the presence of God? Because they knew they had ate off the tree. So, watch this. Jesus died on the cross so God would not remember that you have eaten off the tree. So it's more important for you to realize the redemptive power of God so that you can stay in your original position. Because if you can stay in the original position that you were designed to be in, which is in the presence of God, you can overcome any sin. But Satan will try to make you guilty. And then we run away from the presence of God instead of running to the presence of God. Are you seeing this? This is important because we're going somewhere, because Satan's only objective, we see it here in the third chapter. His only objective is to get you. So if his objective is to get you out of the presence of God, then Satan know that you already. So now watch this. Could it possibly be that Satan know we in the presence of God, but we don't recognize we're in the presence of God? So now, if we don't recognize we're in the presence of God, it makes it easier for Satan to get us out of the presence of God. Go with me to Joshua, the first chapter. I want you to see something here in Joshua, the first chapter. I was talking to my parents about this today, and this first chapter of Joshua, always, every time I read it, I'm always just amazed at how God did this. In this first chapter, let's see, verse 2, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. That's verse 2. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Go to verse 5. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong, verse 6, and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written in. And then for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. This book of the law. Now, reading this on surface, we realize that it's not talking about the Bible, because the Bible, all the Bible wasn't written. So what book it was talking about? The book that Moses wrote. So here it is. I've said this before, but this is me, because I need you to see something. Here it is. Joshua is in the presence of God, talking to God face to face, communicating with God, and God is telling him, do what Moses said do. Now, wait a minute now. If I'm thinking from a pastoral model, the first question I ought to ask if I was Joshua is, God, we standing right here. Why you can't tell me? But thinking from an apostolic point of view, the reason why God asked him to do this is because he wanted him to access the same presence that Moses accessed. What I mean by that, you being conscious of the presence of God has something to do with the agenda of God. If you don't ever recognize God's agenda, then you will never be able to access the resources, the power, and the authority of his presence. See, God needed Joshua to not only access the presence, but access the authority, the power, and all the resources of the presence of God. And the resources of the presence of God is only accessible if you're following God's agenda. All right. So God didn't need, watch this, he didn't need Joshua getting in his presence making stuff up. Right. No. That's good. See, Joshua had a right to be in the presence. But once he was in the presence, he got to understand God's agenda. See, apostle apostle leads us to the presence of God. Once he leads us to the presence of God, it's not up to him to make you understand God's agenda. It's up to you to be with God, to find out God. Go to Romans, the 12th chapter. Watch this. Go to Romans, the 12th chapter. See, we must understand. I want to eliminate. I'm trying to rip out of the body of Christ this laid back mentality of we're going to let the fivefold ministry do this. Or I'm going to wait on Sunday to get a word from God. Because Satan don't wait till Sunday. Satan trying to whoop you every day of the week. Satan trying to get you out of God's presence every day of the week. Romans the 12th chapter. Watch this. Romans the 12th chapter. Verse 1. Apostle Paul writes, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, verse 2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. Verse 5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophesy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. What was all that about? It started off with you present your bodies as a what? Do you know what that means? That means you become aware of God's presence. Yes, when you become aware of God's presence, now it's up to you to renew your mind. When you renew your mind, then you're able to recognize where God is moving. When you can recognize where God is moving, you then can understand your part to play. That's verse 3. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, there is something in that third verse that is very important. Very important. Because this one little statement is what trips people up when they get a little anointing. This one statement. Watch what he says in verse 3. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Remember Joshua? Joshua was in the presence of God, but God told him, do what Moses said do. Now, why was that? That was because God didn't want Joshua taking his anointing and trying to do something different. The anointing, first of all, let me tell you this. Your original position is in the presence of God. All right? And because your original position is in the presence of God, every last one of us in here has an anointing. But there's a catch. Every last one of us has an anointing. Go to Isaiah, the 10th chapter. Every last one of us has anointing. We read it in 1 John 2:27. But the anointing that is in you was coming from what you received from him. Right? Every last one of us has anointing. Isaiah 10:27. Isaiah Isaiah 10, 27. Verse 27, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The primary purpose of the anointing is to remove every burden and every yoke that's stopping you from fulfilling your part of the agenda. See, once again, we got to see this scripture from an apostolic point of view. We've been taught this scripture from a pastoral model view, which the pastoral model makes it about you. Right. So we read this scripture, and the only thing we ever thought about this scripture is going to remove all my burdens and remove all my yokes. But go to Matthew's 11th chapter. Matthew's 11th chapter. Watch this. Matthew's 11th chapter. And the 28th verse. We're going to see some familiar words in this scripture. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's Jesus talking. Look what he says in verse 29. Take what? My yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find what?
Rest
for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, in order to have an easy yoke and a light burden, what's the prerequisite? Stand in his presence, right? Look at verse 28. What verse 28 says? 29. What? Take what? Take his yoke. What do you think his yoke is? His agenda. See, in his presence, you're able to discover his agenda. Is that making sense? See, when you're in his presence, see, that's why you can't wait till Sunday to get in his presence. Because God might not want to talk to you on Sunday. See, God might want to talk to you on Tuesday morning. That's why you have to stay. He said, take my yoke and learn of me. Simply saying, I want you to take what I cannot do in the earth realm, I want you to do. What I can't do in the earth realm, I want you to do. Didn't Jesus say, greater works shall we do? Jesus didn't do everything. He paid for it all, but he didn't do it all. So that's why we have to stay in his presence. In Joshua, the 6th chapter, you have to turn there, but the 6th chapter, many all read that, you know what the 6th chapter is talking about. 6th chapter where the wall fall. But if you read the first few verses in that chapter, God told Joshua to see. I've given you Jericho. Now, why was Joshua able to see that God had given them Jericho? Because the first chapter. Because he meditated on what Moses said. Because he meditated on what Moses said, he then became acquainted with the agenda. So when you become acquainted with the agenda, now God can begin to talk to you about your life. Because now, you watch this, you're going to be doing things according to his plans instead of trying to take his presence and curtail it to your plans. See, the pastoral model has caused us to take the anointing of God and try to jam the anointing into our agenda. And that's why the anointing becomes moot. Nothing happens. It becomes null. And then we wonder why we keep running to brick walls. I talked to a lady the other day, and she was telling me how she's in ministry, and how she was doing things in ministry. And people were getting help, but she said, Satan kept messing with me, kept bothering me. And so she said the only way she found peace is when, watch this, when she would back off, right? Right? Now, people were getting helped. Satan was messing with her. But what it was is she told me, I realized after listening to Apostle Thompson, I realized there were some territorial demons and principalities that were messing with me that I couldn't handle on my own. So therefore, I needed to be connected to an apostolic grace. Who not, because I don't have to be an apostle. All I have to be is apostolic. And when I become apostolic, I'm able to go where God tells me to go. And it doesn't matter how powerful or how strong those principalities are, because God has told me to be there. And because I'm connected to his agenda, God will grace me to overcome every principality and every demon. Y'all have, some of y'all have demons and principalities that's been trying to hold your family at bay. But when you learn to stay in the presence of God, be connected, God will empower you to break every curse, to overcome every principality. So Joshua had to not only be in the presence of God, but he had to be connected to God's agenda. See, that's the thing that Satan has tripped the church up on. Because being connected to God's agenda forces maturity. It forces you to grow up. It forces you to take on, watch this, it forces you to face things that you don't want to face. A prime example is, he just slipped my mind. In the belly of the whale. Jonah. In the belly of the whale. Jonah didn't want to do what God asked him to do. Didn't want to do it. But as soon as he made up his mind to do it, listen to me, people, listen. As soon as he made up his mind, he was going to do what God called him to do. God empowered him to do it faster than he had to do it before. How long did it take him to get to Nineveh? Go read it. You go read it. It was a 3-day journey. He did it in, what, a day and a half? When you make up your mind to do what God is asking you to do, when you take time to be in his presence and understand his agenda, to be connected. Watch this. First of all, this is the most important. Connected to somebody that's going to drag you to the agenda. That's called growth. That's called maturity. You might not want to go. You might not want to do it, but they're going to drag you to this agenda. Everything you're supposed to do in life, God will speed it up. See, what y'all realize is that God don't deal with time. It is time. So this is why you can't get tripped up on being guilty. Because God will take what you were supposed to do maybe 20 years ago, and God will have you accomplish it in 2 years. But you got to be in his presence. You have to present your body. You have to do it. See, some of y'all thought presenting your body just meant stay out of sin. No, presenting your body is saying, God, I'm in your presence. I'm trying to understand what you want from me. God, and I'm going to be in your presence until I find out. God, I ain't making no crazy moves until you tell me. God, I'm not going to make no moves till you open the door. And God, I'm not going to work. And if you want me to open the door, you're going to tell me to open the door, and you're going to empower me to open the door. Isaiah 1. I want you to see that you have been created. You have been designed to be in the presence of God. You have been designed to be conscious of the presence of God. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So that means we talk about standing in the presence of God. It actually means being conscious of the presence of God. Knowing that God is with you at all times. Not only knowing that God is with you at all time, but you letting God, I'm available at all times. Isaiah 1:19. Let's see. See, these next few scriptures prove that apostle is not going to the presence of God for you. If apostle was going to the presence of God for you, then why in the world was the curtain rent in two? Hold on, why would this scripture say this? Isaiah 1:18. It says, come now and let us reason together. Said who?
The Lord.
Come, let us. This is God telling us to come talk to me. Now, if you wasn't in his presence. Wait a minute. Let me read this one. Because this is what it must be said. Oh, thou that art so holy and so righteous, come now. That ain't what it said, huh? In that 18th verse, there's an understood you. You come now. So who is you? See, that's the issue. You don't know who you is. You got to know who you is. You is you. He ain't talking about the sister next to you, the brother next to you. Did he say, apostle, come now? He said, you, come now. And this is what he said. Let us
reason together.
God said, look, come on and let's talk. We going to talk. I'm going to answer all your concerns. I'm going to help you understand what you don't understand. I'm going to make things clearer for you. But I can't make things clearer for you if you don't come reason. I can show you why the enemy attacked here and how to deal with it. I can show you what decision you made to cause you to be where you are so you can go undo that decision. But you got to come reason. See, when you reason with God, it's simply saying this. God said, I need you to put your thoughts with my thoughts.
Yes.
Look what it says when you do that. He says, though your sins, another word for sins in this instance is just means your actions. Though your actions be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Other words, God said, when you come reason with me, any of the ideas that you had that was going to cause you issue, I'm going to rearrange your thoughts with my agenda. See, when you stay in the presence of God, you can see the devil coming a mile away. See, when you're in the presence of God, God can tell you, turn here. Satan waiting on you up there. Turn right here. People don't understand why Jesus would perform a miracle. And he told them, hey, don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody. Don't tell who did. What was Jesus' reasoning behind that? Satan ain't know who he was. Satan had no clue who Jesus was. Jesus never told him who he was, even when Satan came get him in Matthew, the fourth chapter. He said, if thou be the Son of God. Jesus never told him he was the Son of God. 1 Corinthians 2, in 1 Corinthians 2, it said, if the prince of the earth would have known, Jesus would still be walking the earth today if he didn't went around talking about, I'm Jesus Christ. I'm the man. But Jesus practiced what he told Apostle Paul to say in Romans 12 and 3. Not to think of yourself. Is this making sense?
Yes.
See, when you're in the presence of God, you can see the enemy coming before he gets there. If Adam and Eve would have stayed in the presence of God, here's how I know they wasn't in the presence of God. Because the Bible said they hid. So that means they went a period of time without being in the presence of God. See, here's the thing about the presence of God. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but God ain't going to dominate you. If God dominated you, then there could be no love. Love originates from willingness. Love is horrible to be around somebody who don't want to be around you. It's horrible to be around somebody that don't want to be around you. That's how God feels with some of us. And yet he sticks to his word. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God is such a loving God. So my point for saying it is, God would not dominate you. You have to tell him, I am aware of your presence. I'm aware I'm in your presence, God. God, I want to talk to you. And watch this. When I say I want to talk to God, that don't mean I'm going to tell God all my problems. God, I'm here to find out what you want.
Yes.
God, what do you need?
Yes.
God, what do you have for me to do?
Yes.
See, that's being in his presence. That's talking to God. That's reasoning with God.
Yes.
God, I thought about doing this, but what do you think?
Yes.
God, I had this plan. You know, I thought it came from you. But I just won't be sure. Did this come from you? Matthew 6:33. I'm almost through. You know, there were some people that gathered themselves around David in 1 Samuel 22. And you find them same people in 1 Chronicles 28. But their lives had changed. Maturity had taken place. You know, what apostle is pulling us towards is to a church that he comes, God gives him insight, gives him instructions. And each one of us, without him having to tell us, know our part. Why? Because we are staying in his presence. We are staying in his presence. Not only are we staying in his presence, but when we're in his presence, we're asking him, okay, God, what's my part? God, what will you have me to do? Watch this, Matthew 6:33. We love this B part, but the A part is suggestion, it's already assuming that you're in his presence. Because what it says. So where is the kingdom of God? Yeah. On the inside of you. That's where his presence is. It's on the inside of you. So it's already assuming that you can access the presence of God, that you are conscious of the presence of God. Because if you're not conscious of the presence of God, you can't seek him first. You can't find out what he wants. Now watch this. Here's where people get God. This is where people get God confused. They think God's Santa Claus. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then what's going to happen? God tried giving the stuff first. He tried giving the stuff first and they didn't listen. Go back and read. When they came out of Egypt, he gave the stuff first. Hebrews 10. Watch this. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10:36. For ye have need of patience, that, what it says? After. What? Not before. After you've done the will of God. Now the word might there is obviously conditional, because that word might just simply means, what do you want? If you don't want nothing, that's what he's going to give you. That's why Apostle teaches us about prosperity. Because the Bible says he'll give you the desires of your heart, right? But what the first part is, say, delight yourself. See, and Satan's trick is to let us get stuff on credit so we get the stuff first. Oh, I've done it too. So when you watch, this is why Apostle teach about prosperity and teach about getting out of debt so much. When God talks to you and asks you to do something, if you got that debt lingering, if you got too much debt lingering over your head, you're gonna tell God, you're gonna have to wait. So after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promises, right? I got one more for you and I'm closing. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16. Let us, who is us? Me. Me. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace. Where is the throne of grace? In the presence of God. So here it is, the Apostle Paul even given us a situation in which we might have done something and don't think we deserve to be in the presence. Then it says we have a great high priest that is passed on into the heavens. What that means? He has already presented himself to God the Father as a sacrificial lamb and have set the stage, knowing that he was tempted like we were. But he was the only one that did it without sin, to go redeem, to put the lay the blood on the altar for the final time, so that we can boldly. Now, if the Apostle Paul has given us this scenario, that you can boldly come to the throne of grace, or let's say this, come to the presence of God in your time of need. Time of need simply means when a person is in sin. Because it can't be just talking about everyday needs. Because Satan is trying to get us out the presence of God. So he's going to try to distract you out of the presence of God. So when this is talking about somebody who don't think they're supposed to be in the presence of God. Because your original position is in the presence of God. So now if the Apostle Paul is telling them that they can boldly come to the throne of grace, what about y'all who ain't done nothing? See, you ain't out there committing sin. You're not practicing sin. So if a person who is committing and practicing sin can boldly come to the throne of grace. Let's define throne of grace. Throne of empowerment. A place of empowerment. See, that's why I get mad when they talk about grace. This hyper grace stuff. It's so stupid. Grace is grace. Grace is an empowerment. What it really saying is grace, when we've been given the gift of grace, it empowers us not to sin. It don't give us an excuse to sin. It empowers you not to sin. In other words, when you come to the throne of grace, God is saying, come, let us reason together. I'm going to show you what you need to do. So if a person who is practicing sin, a Christian who is practicing can come boldly, what about those of us who are not practicing sin? You can come and you can talk to God and say, God, okay, what we going to do today? What we going to accomplish today? God, who are you going to run across my path today? God, who are we going to get born again today? Who are we going to introduce Christ to today? What's my part? God, who you want me to minister to today? God, how you want to handle this? The more time you spend conscious of the presence of God, the easier it is to talk to God. The more time you spend with God, the easier it will be to hear his voice. See, I know if I don't know nothing else, I can hear the voice of God. Amen. Does it mean I'm more spiritual than nobody else? No. That ain't what that means, because I don't think of myself more highly than all the things. I just spend time with him. I know how to recognize his voice. That's what's important to me. More than anything else is me being able to recognize the voice of God. Because that's one thing I taught my daughters. More than anything else, my parents taught me. The one thing they taught me is you better learn how to hear the voice of God. Because when they can hear the voice of God, I can get them out of any jam. If I can get them to understand that them being in the presence of God is not necessarily a geographical location. Being in the presence of God is a consciousness. It's a consciousness. I know God is with me. I know I can talk to God. I know God wants to talk to me. When that happens, you can get out of any. The only reason why, listen to me. God was talking to Jonah in the belly of the whale. In the midst of his disobedience, God was talking to him. So that means, oh my God, he wasn't even redeemed. He wasn't even redeemed. And God was talking to him in the belly of the whale. You are redeemed. What you mean God don't want to talk to you? What you mean you can't hear the voice of God? You are the redeemed. So God wants to talk to you. God wants to be with you. God wants to unfold your life. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's God talking to you. He wants you to be in his presence. He don't want you to wait till Sunday. As a matter of fact, you know what's really supposed to be happening on Sunday? Y'all really want to know what's going to be happening on Sunday? All of us need to be preaching with Apostle. Yeah. What I mean preaching with Apostle? We all in the presence of God. So therefore, an atmosphere has been created that whoever walk into these four walls, whoever online will feel the presence of God and realize these people ain't playing. These people love God. These people know God. These people are listening to God. These people will do what God is asking them to do. I want to be like them. That's what I mean. We ought to be preaching with Apostle. We ought to be the ones that gather themselves around David. We got to be the ones in the First Chronicles 28. We the ones that when Apostle gives instructions, or Apostle gives us insight, we're able to back him up. Yes. So people who question, looking around like, wait a minute, they doing it? Wait, well, I'm gonna do it with them. I might not know all what I'm doing. I might not understand. I might be new on the job. Are you seeing this? So, open yourselves up to allow God to talk to you at any time. Discipline yourself to go and talk to God. Instead of sometimes you having frivolous conversation with people, get off to yourself. Instead of talking about somebody, you know, take that time and get with God and say, God, I'm just here. And sometimes I sit with God in silence. Yeah. That's called meditation. Yes. Say, God, I'm just here because I just won't be with you. Yeah. I just won't hear what you're saying. Here, take me to the scripture. I read it. Then all of a sudden he start talking and I start writing. And in my writing, I'm discovering answers that I've been looking for. Are you seeing this? Stand in the presence of God. Stand in the presence of God is about being conscious. Simply being conscious, knowing that God is always with me, knowing that God always wants to talk to me, knowing that I can approach God at any time. I'm just not going to approach God when I need him. I'm not just going to approach God when I want something. Sometimes I'm just going to approach God and say, God, I'm just here for you. Lift your hand and read the offering of the Lord.